Amen. As you think about life, you often seldom think inside because you're always looking at what's happening on the outside. And this week I had an interesting interaction with a friend of mine, pastor, friend, counselor, a guy who guides lots of people, who's very connected to helping people at the point and juncture of their journey of faith. And it was interesting because he laid out two parallel dialogues he had in the same week with two different people, one willing to deal with things, another willing to ignore them. And it's interesting because person number one came in and he came into the office really with under the auspices of, hey, we need a few little insights to make it through this. But in the middle of the dialogue, he broke. He broke and he said, my whole life I've been waiting to say to somebody the pain I have. Would you be willing to listen to it? Well, you can imagine that kind of opening was a great, great opportunity to look inside. Then a few days later, he had an interaction with another person, and in the interaction, the person began to share, and open up about what they'd faced, how they'd faced it. And so at a juncture of a key juncture in the dialogue, he asked the person, would you be willing to open your heart up to deal with this issue so that you'll have a better life? And it's interesting because that person looked at him and said, no, I can't do that. My whole identity wraps up in what I've been through. And if I give it up, I won't have a battle to fight. I won't have an issue to confront. I won't have a pain to endure. I can't do it. So in the span of 1 week, one person said, I want you to help me through what it is I'm facing. Another person said, I don't mind telling you a little bit about it, but I can never let go of it. Now, I want you to think in light of that in your own life. Sometimes we have things that get the best of us. Sometimes we have things that come at us, and if we're not careful, our identity will start resting not in who we are in Christ, but who we become as a result of choices and issues and things that we've encountered. And so today, as you think about your own journey of faith, I want you to think about how you can move forward by being able to acknowledge, you know what, that thing will never get the best of me again. That issue will never become the defining point of my life. And when I think about those two people, when I think about their long-term story of their life, for one, it's going to be the most cleansing, challenging, blessed time of their life. But for the other, it goes back into the shadows. The shadows of pain, the shadows of difficulty, the shadows of heartache. And I think for the Ephesians, as Paul wrote to them, he realized something. He knew they need to understand grace. He knew he had to hammer home that thought because they were the most affluent, they were the most educated, they were most equipped people of that entire time and season when you think about the church at Ephesus. They had so much. If you've ever been to those ruins, you realize something. They were blessed people. But what Paul wrote to them, he wrote to them to remind them that there was something more, that if they would look inside. So today we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, turn to that text. As you're turning there, you realize this is the place where he says, I bow on my knees and I pray. In other words, it's the place where all of a sudden he begins to zero in on what it is that he knows is most essential. Most essential. And so today, as you think about that, when you look inside of yourself, what do you see? Do you see areas that you go, you know what, I wish I had confronted that earlier. I wish I had dealt with that. I wish that I had understood which step to take. I wish I'd had somebody to talk to me. I wish someone would have been willing to listen, not just to give me the answer, but to listen to the probings of my heart. Because what you discover is this. When you look inside, if you see some places where you go, you know what, I think I should reckon with that. I think I should deal with that. I think I should find my answer. What happens? All of a sudden, you open yourself up to a much more profound and powerful encounter. So in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, you find where Paul records, I get down on my knees before the Father and I pray for you. I mean, can you imagine? I'm going to ask you a question. How many people in your lifetime have been on their knees for you? How many people in your lifetime have you been on your knees for them? Because here's what you discover. What he was saying was, in my humility, in my desperate desire for you to hear what it is I'm saying, I'm asking God for you not to miss this. I want you to see it, hear it, know it, and live it. And what happens is he opens up there this whole idea of I get down on my knees and I pray and I believe and I trust. So watch what happens. So he says he gets down, verse 14, I get down on my knees and I pray, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would, and watch this, I want you to see a couple of verses, very important, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Which tells you something. If it doesn't get inside you, it doesn't get you anywhere. In other words, somebody can come up to you and say a very profound thought to you. And you hear that thought, but it doesn't get inside it. You don't own it. And as a result, you miss it. And what he was saying here is, if it doesn't get inside, if it doesn't grab you, if it doesn't speak to your heart, what happens to you? If you're not careful, your wheels start spinning, your life keeps moving, but you're moving in a direction that doesn't give you the best of what God has in store for you. So he says here, you're strengthened in this inner man, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you, watch this, may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Which, by the way, oftentimes people will stop at verse 20 and they grab hold of that promise. Now, to him who is able. But notice verse 21, because what does he say? He makes it very clear, to him be the glory in the church. In the church. And what it says to you and me is this: when we come into his house, there is a purpose. There is a reason. There is a basis. It is the very defining part of who we are, that the church becomes a part of our story, because he said, in the church, in Christ. So as I walk in Christ, I find myself among other believers, and those believers are an encouragement and a strength to me. So today, as you think about your own journey, think about what happened, because this prayer that he prays opens us up inside. He prays this prayer, and it's like all of a sudden he starts saying, you know what, if you get this, this is going to matter more than anything. And it's interesting, by the way, sometimes when someone prays, it so connects to who we are. We hear that prayer, it grabs hold of us, and it carries us forward to that next step, to that next part of our journey. And as a result, we learn that prayer does open us up. So in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is in the middle, by the way, of the letter, which is interesting, by the way. If you're listening carefully during this series, and our entire series is built around the idea of what happens if we give everything to him. All or nothing. Because the reality is, the Bible says you can't experience him unless you give him all. You're all. You have to turn yourself over to him completely. And as a result, you start turning more and more yourself over, and all of your life becomes a part of an amazing story. So here, if you read this text from verses 14 to 21 and circle all, every place you find it, what you're going to discover is he had something very, very clearly in mind as he wrote this prayer to them. And as you read it, my prayer is that you're going to grab hold of several of these things that will speak to your heart and life. And the first thing I want you to see is this. Paul knew something. If you were going to look from the inside out, there had to be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. In other words, the Spirit of God had to be at work inside of you. It couldn't be you lining up your agenda, lining up your platform. It's interesting. Oftentimes, I encounter people who try to line God up with their goals. And they'll make the statement, well, you know, this is my goal because of. And if you're not careful, here's what happens. In humility, we hear God speak. His Spirit dwells in our hearts and lives as we humble ourselves. But if you have in a mind that works, if you're not careful, what'll happen? You'll start defining your agenda and say, you know what, this is what I want to do. And then what happens? You start praying a certain way and say, well, Lord, I know you want me to be able to do this. And so what happens? Pretty soon you have aligned yourself in a parameter of thought that has nothing to do with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. It has everything to do with your intellect guiding you a certain way. So if you're here today If it's the next job, if it's the next situation, if it's the next issue, if it's the next car, if it's the next home, if it's the next decision you've got to make, remember this. If he dwells inside of you, you have a much better chance of discovering what it is he has for you. But if he doesn't dwell inside of you, you miss all of it. So what does he do? Look at with me if you would. Verse 16. So that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So what do you have to do in order for him to indwell you? The first thing you have to be willing to do is you got to yield yourself to him. You've got to yield yourself to him and say, Lord, I'm going to yield everything about me to you. And by the way, this is the most challenging point I'll make the whole time we're together. When you start saying, I'll yield control to him, it means that you may do some things that make you uncomfortable. You may do some things that challenge you beyond words. You may do some things that you go, wow, this doesn't make any sense. But he wants you to do it. It happened to me last night. I was praying for a relative. A relative had been trying to do the right thing and stuff. And on my phone, I have a Cash App. And on that, if you don't have that app, get it and then put my name in there. So whenever you get this inspiration, you just send it to me. That's supposed to be funny, all right, because the truth is none of you are going to send me any money on Cash App. But I was sitting at my desk studying this text, studying this verse, and strengthened with power. And I got to thinking about this nephew of mine who has done the very best he can to overcome everything that's come at him. And he started going to church. He started focusing in on what would help him be a better young man and a better father. And so I just sent, I hit my Cash App, and you can read my little finger, and I sent cash to him last night. Well, you know, anybody sitting here said, well, he didn't even ask for it. Watch this carefully. When you're yielded and you yield control to him, you will do something that is not prompted by someone else's request. It's prompted by his request. And so never, never, ever question it. And I'm going to tell you my own story. I can tell you as a young man pastoring in Arkansas, I'll never forget the $100 bill I had in my pocket that I held on to. I've told this story before. Let me tell you what's interesting. You may have something you hang on to, but if you give it away and you give control to him, he'll give you so much more, so much more. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I yield control to you. So the first thing you do, for him to dwell inside of you, you got to yield control. Because if you don't give him control, he can't do it, all right? I found that even my little granddaughter, we were driving back from our neighborhood, and we got in our neighborhood, and she said, Gaga, can I drive the car? She's five. And I said, absolutely. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to be able to get a hold of this car and drive it. You want to drive? But let me tell you, there's a couple rules. Number one, you got to listen to what I say. Number two, my hand will always be close to you. And number three, please don't hit another car. And so we drove into our neighborhood. Now, by the way, just in my neighborhood, all right? So those of you who are worried, we're not out on South Old Peachtree or Peachtree Industrial, but in my neighborhood. And I'm sorry, parents, about this. But there's some things a grandfather you just do, all right? Because you want them to have good memories. And I guarantee you, Nora will never forget driving a car. But as she drove, you could tell, man, she had her arms so tight and everything. And then I started realizing how tight mine were. Because I realized that it was hard to yield control to a five-year-old. Hard to say, Nora. Now, by the way, she didn't have access to the gas pedal, which tells you something. I didn't yield complete control to her, did I? I only let her have control of the parts that I thought she could make work. But here's what happened to us in life. It's the exact same thing. We yield control to certain parts of our life to God. We say, you know, oh, yeah, you know what? You can have that. I'm not worried about that at all. But when it comes to something else, we say, no, I'm going to hang on to that. I mean, I yield control of everything to you, be very hard to do. But I'm going to tell you what I want to encourage you today to think about. You want him to dwell inside of you? Just say, Lord, I give you control. I release myself to you. Second thing that happens, not only do you yield control, but you start living inside of his word. I mean, what he does here, he starts talking about how you're grounded in love, how you experience and encounter God the way he intended. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered. The quickest way to understanding how the Holy Spirit works is to read the Word and let the Word dwell in your heart and life. And you go, wow, this gets me. This speaks to who I am, and it grabs me. So today, as you think about that, you got to ask yourself a question. How much of the Word did I read this week? How much did I absorb? How much did I take in? Because here's what you discover. If you don't absorb his word, what happens? You can't hear with clarity what it is he has for you, because this is his written will for you. And so if you stop and say, no, wait a minute, I'm going to make sure I'm yielding control, and I'm going to let go of it all, then I'm going to start living inside his word. And the third thing I want you to see is very, very powerful, and that's this. When he talks about here that you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in you, what he's talking about there is he didn't intend for anybody else to fail. He wanted them to succeed. And what I want you to see today is this. It is not God's intent for us to walk around failing in everything we do. Here's what he was trying to say. Our success arrives in his presence. In other words, when we feel he is at work in us, in his presence, at work in our lives, that's when something powerful begins to happen inside of us. So question number one is this. Think about your own journey. Think about, hey, have I allowed the Spirit of God to dwell in me? In other words, to take residence inside of who I am. Second thing you see, look if you would, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. What I want you to see today is so, so important, because you've got to be willing to grant every aspect of your heart to him. You've got to grant him access. You've got to be willing to let him come in, take away anything that could get in your way. And granting access means you say, you know what, here is my password. I don't know if any of you have the problem that I have, but over the years, there are too many passwords to too many things. And so every once in a while, I will go on something and I'll say, you know, enter your password. Username, I can pretty much remember, but enter your password, and I'll enter it and it'll say, incorrect password. Did you forget? And that makes me mad every time it asks that, because it knows I forgot, or it would not have rejected me getting in access into it. And after a little while, something will come up, and it'll be a prompt, and it'll say, do you want a hint? You want some kind of reminder to you of what it is that you need in order to successfully access what it is, the information you need. And I'm going to tell you what I think. When that hint comes up, it immediately hits me. And isn't it interesting? Sometimes we're living life, we're moving forward, we're doing what we want to do, and then all of a sudden we forget the password. And let me tell you, what you discover here is Paul said the password's love. Because when you grab hold of that and you know how much he loves you, when you get that in your heart and life, everything begins to change. Because look at it, how he uses very, very rich and powerful words. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And the word dwell there, I want you to look at all three of the key words of this verse. Because that word dwell there has the whole idea of settling down and feeling at home. In other words, you just become so comfortable that you feel at home. And I'll give you this example of some things that happen to me sometimes. Sometimes I'll walk in this room, and I'll come in and I'll sit down at a place like this. And I'll sit down and I'll think about all of you. I'll think about those who've worshipped here. I'll think about those who've gone on to heaven. I'll think about different things. And I'll sit here and I'll think, wow, you know, I feel at home here. And it's not the size of the room or the number of the people. It's feeling loved by him. And it has such a powerful, powerful impact on me. And I'm sure you're the same way sometimes. You sit down in your den. You sit down different places. Mark and I were visiting about being empty nesters now. And empty nest is the greatest thing, one of the greatest things God ever created, is for them to be gone, you know, and grown up. So we were talking about that and how powerful it is. But I guarantee you can sit down in his den sometime and go, you know what, I feel at home. And oftentimes people will come into my office for different things, and it's always interesting to watch them, because you can tell if they feel at home or not. Because some will walk in, and they'll walk in and they'll go, they'll be like this. Where do you want me to sit? Where to be? Well, how about in a chair? And right there, sure, why not? And you can tell they don't feel at home. Others, they just come in and plop down. And they feel at home. And what you discover is this. What he's saying here is when he starts dwelling in your heart, that love makes you be able to sit down and be at home with him. Don't you love that thought? That's what commentators said, that you settle down. You feel at home, and it's powerful. Second word I want you to see, not just that he would dwell in your hearts, but also that you'd be rooted. And when you look there, when he says, this love is going to become such a part of who you are that it goes deep, rooted deep inside of who you are. And what's this? His love is rooted so deeply in us. It's what God's intent is. Paul prayed, I want this love to be so rooted in you that it has the capacity to sustain you no matter what in His love. Let me tell you, that's the kind of love that you want in life. You want the kind of love to know that God loves you so much that He's with you no matter what. I mean, don't you love that thought? To know that He loves you, He's with you, He's watching over you, He's guiding you. And I'll tell you what happened. When you feel that love, you get sustained. You get so blessed. But you got to be willing to grant that access. All right? So first of all, you learn how to settle down and be at home. Secondly, you learn to go deep. Which, by the way, if you look at anything that goes deep by way of roots, it takes a lot to knock it over. And if you see any tree that on the outside looks giant and the first windstorm knocks it over, and what happens when it's knocked over? You look inside and you see something a long time ago was killing that tree. We had it happen right over here on our lot right next door here. There a big giant tree that I mean, it was massive in size, but inside it was rotten. And what I want you to see today is that Paul knew for some of the Ephesians, they would be legalistic, they would get rotten, they would miss what it is God had for them. And so he said, I want you to get this love so deep inside of you that it changes the way you live your life. So first of all, you dwell. Secondly, you're rooted. And then you'll notice he used another word, grounded. Look at it with me if you would. Because he says, you're going to be grounded in love. And it's interesting. I love what one commentator said, and I gave these exact words to you. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. In other words, if that love is not deep and abiding and powerful, you can't go and elevate where you're supposed to go. You can't get up there. And I don't know if you're like me, but there's something amazing about the depth of love that grabs hold of you, and it's so deep and abiding that you never let go of it. And it carries you through everything else you're facing in life. Imagine today that you're sitting here, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to grant access to God to love me the way He intended. Can you imagine the difference? Because what do? Sometimes we bring our criteria to the table of what kind of love we want versus His unconditional love that transforms the way we live. And it's interesting because we're all products of what we've come from. We've been raised up in families, we've been raised up in circumstances, been raised up in situations. And if we're not careful, love will be defined by the parameters of our upbringing, watch this, instead of His reaching down to us. And when you let Him reach down, you're like, what happened to you? You feel more loved, you feel more power, you feel more meaning, but you got to grant access. You got to give the password. You got to let Him have access to you. A third thing you say. So first of all, you learn how to open your heart up to be able to let Him dwell inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more powerful than that. And when He dwells inside of you, then you start feeling love because you grant access to Him. The third thing, look if you would, verse 18, because I want you to see, what does He do here? That you may be able to comprehend. The word comprehend there, by the way, has to do with experience, all right? That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Now, what does He do here? He brings back the love of Jesus for a reason. The reason He brings it back is that if you don't understand and own it, you can't grasp it. You can't access it the way He intended. So He wants you to understand this and own it. It'd be like me walking up to say, you know, I love you. And then you go, I can't grasp what you're saying there. I can't get the understanding and the meaning of it. And what happens is, if you're not careful, you go right back to the illustration I started with. One person said, I get it. He loves me. I have a messed up life. He's going to come inside and He's going to guide me to wholeness. The other one said, oh, no. I appreciate all your questions. I appreciate all your concerns. I appreciate all your compassion. But my identity rests in what I've been through. And what happens oftentimes, if you don't own His love, if you don't own it, what happened? You miss it. All right, and that's why he says here that you look at it from different ways. And what notice what he says here, that you might see the breadth, length, height, and depth. Now, what is that? That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? How tall, how wide, how deep, everything. What is he trying to get across? You can't get it all in one day. It takes a lifetime to experience it. That's why oftentimes when I've been with people at the end of their journey, Their testimony is the most powerful and meaningful because they've encountered His love, not just that saved them, but also blessed them. And what Paul was trying to get across, and the same thing I'm trying to get across to you, let me tell you something. If it goes deep and wide, if it spreads across the span of who you are, what happens to you? You become a vessel worthy of honor because others want to know that kind of same kind of love. And so think for a moment. What happens if I all of a sudden start owning His love? In other words, I say, you know what? I do know God loves me. Which, by the way, easier to say it than it is to live it. All right, and we're going to get to that in just a moment because you're going to see something in this next phrase. In this next verse, it's very powerful. So first of all, it's a comprehensive faith. I mean, here's what he's saying. You got to believe in him so much so that it's comprehensive. It covers everything. And I'm sure some of you have had this kind of experience when you are dealing with some physical issues. You go to the doctor, and obviously before you go to the doctor, there's the copay part of that, and you do the copay part, and you go back, and the doctor walks in, and by the way, I'm not picking on doctors, but the doctor walks in and says, well, how are you feeling? Well, I'm not feeling too good. That's why I'm here. And you know, I just want to know if you could help me a little bit. And tell me some of your symptoms. And if you tell two or three symptoms, and they say, okay, go home, take an aspirin, take a couple Advil later on, tomorrow you'll feel better. Now, you're going to go out of there going, that wasn't very comprehensive. And by the way, most of my doctor visits, the reason I don't go to the doctor much is they know me. The only thing they ever say to me is, you're getting older. And after a while, I get tired of hearing that. You know, so I'll say, my hip's hurting. Oh, you're getting older. My back hurts. Oh, you're getting older. I've got a headache. Oh, you're married to Cindy. No, they don't say that. No, I'm kidding. But the reality is, if I went to the doctor and the doctor did that often, here's the question. Would I have confidence in his capacity to guide me towards wholeness? And the answer is no. That's exactly how we do God at times. We know He loves us, but what do? We don't let Him look inside us and see us as we are. And as a result, we don't grant that access and we don't own it. Not only is there a comprehensive faith, there's another thing He states out here. If you'll notice in verse 19, what does He say? That you may be able to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Which surpasses knowledge. And what is He trying to get across here? There's this incomprehensible love that you can't, in a finite mind, ever get a handle on completely. In other words, it's like, wow. And I'll tell you, anybody here who is a grandparent, a great-grandparent, you understand what I'm saying. You love your kids to the best of your ability, but you have to raise them so they challenge you in different ways. When your grandkids come, your love becomes incomprehensible. You let them do things your children would never be able to do. I mean, if they color on a wall, you say, oh, look at that pretty drawing. When you were a parent, you know, don't you dare put that crayon on the wall. It's a whole different scenario. By the way, I'm not inspiring my grandkids to do that, but I'm just saying, because Nora's in here, I'm not inspiring them to write on the wall, but I'm just saying it's a different reaction. All right? And here's what I want you to get a hold of. Wouldn't you love to think that you are loved by God in a way beyond your comprehension? Isn't that a great thought? I mean, let me ask you this. Aren't you glad He loves you beyond your quirks and your idiosyncrasy? And by the way, if I passed out cards that everybody put one idiosyncrasy, one quirk on the card, we would fill up the entire platform, wouldn't we? Because we all have those things. But what He says here is you learn how to grasp this and watch what He does when He works in your life. Verse 19, latter part. Notice what He said. Final thing I want you to see, because what I want you to get a hold of today is this. Before we finish, you have to look inside. And if you look inside, you're either going to see someone prepared to experience life the way God intended, or someone who has not yielded to the power of this prayer. All right, so look at it with me, if you would. Verse 19 and following. That you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now, what does He do here? He uses words that make us start measuring our hearts for God. In other words, we got to start saying, wait a minute now, beyond what I could think or ask, that's how much He loves me? And I love this verse because in this verse, verse 20, it says, now to Him who is able to do. And I was reading a little background on Nike. Nike in 1988 was a shoe company that was looking for a way to capture an entire market. And an advertising agent was sitting in a room one day and they said, And the guy sitting, one of the guys sitting at the table said, "Let's just do it." And I started reading this story. It's interesting. In 1988, in fact, I made a note here, 1988, they sold $877 million tennis shoes. 1998, $9.2 billion. And that same logo is still identifiable with them all this time beyond now. I've had the privilege of meeting the guy who developed that concept. And you know, the truth of the matter is, when you get to that word do, that's an action word, isn't it? It's an action word. And what happens is, lots of times, it's easy for us to sit and ponder things and think about things and evaluate things, but it's harder to do them. And here's what Paul records for them. You quit trying to do it, let God do it. And when you do, something will be very, very powerful. And he gives us three promises that open us up, and we're done. The first one is, he's able. And I'm going to tell you, when you come to the place where you go, he can, when you come to the place he can, he will. You get in your mind, he's able. You let it go. You let go of what it is that gets in your way and say, you know what, he can. He's able. And when you get there, something begins to happen inside of who you are. Second promise, not just can he do it, but he says he's going to give it to you abundantly. And the word abundantly there has to do with beyond our grasp. I mean, it's so much more. It's so much more than we can ever imagine. It's beyond us. And when we get a hold of it, it's just powerful. And when we get there, it starts becoming abundant, and we get more and more and more. And some in this room have gardens that the rain sustained the garden to the degree that it was flourished and it was abundant. And what Paul was trying to say was, in the garden of your heart, let the love of God so become a part of you that you just start growing it in an amazing way. A third and final promise he gives us, because I want you to think about this. He says, according to the power that works within us. And that word power there has to do with the dynamic, watch this, a dynamic encounter that leads us straight to him. There was something explodes inside of us, and we go, wow, you know what? I get it. It's the same thing I would pray for someone in this room today, that they would have such a dynamic encounter with him that it would change their life forever. And the question I want to ask you is simply this. Will you let him inside? Because let me tell you what happened. You let him inside, all the dynamics of who you are change. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, come on in. And the truth of the matter is, watch this carefully, and we're done. In life, oftentimes he knocks. Looking to speak to our hearts, looking to change our lives, looking to move us forward, looking to address the issues that we're facing. But what do? We don't answer the knock, because we become contented in a place that God never intended for us to be. So my challenge to you today is simply this. Let him inside and see what he'll do. It may be you're here today and you know what you need most is to live out verse 21. And I pointed this out to you when we started our message, but when you look at it, I mean, he makes it very clear that in him, there's the glory in the church. And I'm going to tell you what I love. This church is committed to accomplishing God's purpose right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and then beyond our doors to the entire world. God's given us that vision. He's given us the opportunity to be authentic followers of Christ. We just have to be willing to say, Lord, yes, I will. So if you're here today, and maybe you know God's speaking to your heart about becoming a part of who we are, I want to invite you to do that. And maybe you realize, you know what, I need to work on some parts of my life. I need to pray. I need to have someone intercede. And as that prayer is opened up inside of you, his love will begin to change you. Today, I want to encourage you to think about how to live inside out. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word that speaks to our lives. Thank you for what Paul said to the Ephesians. Thank you for the promise of this text. Thank you that we can look inside our own lives and determine what you want to do, how you want to do it, what steps you want to take. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We yield control. We ask you, Lord, for your spirit to dwell inside each one of us. And Lord, I pray for each person that's here that no matter what they're facing, it could be that someone walked in not realizing that this would be their home. They've been coming, and now they realize this is home. Some here may realize that what they need more than anything else is to be in a place where they're loved and encouraged and motivated and challenged. This is the story of one heart. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you bless every person that they would respond and take action. Take action to let you inside. There's someone here never given their heart to you. I pray you'd speak to their life as well. Bless us, Lord, as we encounter you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.